Weird Realities explores the paranormal, preternatural, and supernatural worlds that surround us. Here we delve into those topics that challenge us to think outside the limitations of realism, where we test the boundaries of imagination and are forced to think outside the confines and restrictions of what is normal. We are the creators, the writers, the artists, and the insane. Welcome to our Weird Realities.
Happy Thursday, Weirdlings. This is Hadley Thorne, and I'm here with Scott Baker and Alan Gamboa, and we have a special guest in the house tonight. So tonight we're going to be talking about movies from beneath on our countdown to Halloween. And now before I turn it over to Alan, if you would like the content that we're putting out, be sure to give us a message, like, subscribe, and follow us. You can find us on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and more. And we're uploading new content once, sometimes twice a week. Alan, I'm handing it over to you.
All right. Tonight we're doing movies about underwater creatures. And we found the perfect guy. He's a creature guy. Just look at him. But he's the perfect guy for this underwater creature show tonight, Joe Hansen. He's the author of the Zombie Rush series. He's very prolific, a great guy, and the best guy to go eat chicken and waffles with. Joe, welcome to Watching Weird tonight.
Welcome, Joe.
Thank you, Joe. I'm very happy to be here.
And he's an avid fisherman. I'm sorry. Did I add that?
I'm sure it would come out eventually. It seems about all I can talk about. Kind of funny, when you're young, you talk about sex. When you're old, you talk about fishing.
And you make up stories about both of them.
Very true.
And it's all about size, so.
You know, isn't that amazing? Never thought of it that way, but yeah.
So tonight's movies are The Meg, The Host, Crawl, and Deep Rising. And these are all cinema classics, I'm sure. And so we'll give Joe a break for a minute here and let him roll into this once we get going. Scott, your pick was?
The Meg.
The Meg. You want to start with that?
It's not a detailed plot. It's pretty much a version of Jaws on Jason Statham steroids. Begins with Jason Statham. His name is Janus. He is a master at deep sea underwater rescue with a small submersible. And him and his team are rescuing the crew of a downed nuclear submarine. During the rescue operation, something happens. They've only gotten out 11 of the crew, and the nuclear sub is about to implode. So Statham makes the decision. He closes the hatch, breaks free. He saves 11 people, but his crew and the rest of the crew of the sub dies. That ruins his career. He drops out of the movie for a while. We cut to a few years later. Off the coast of China, a multi-billionaire has set up a research institute, underwater research institute. They're looking at the bottom of the Mariana Trench. We all know it's the deepest part of the ocean, deepest part of the world. But they found out that there is a thermal layer that it actually goes deeper. So Jason Statham's ex-wife, Laurie, is leading an expedition down to see if they can break through the thermal layer and see what's underneath. Possibly, oil deposits, minerals, expensive minerals that, you know, we need up on Earth or on Earth. And she goes down with a crew. They find that there is this extraordinary biolife down there. It's cut off. It can't break through the thermal layer because it would be entering cold water. But there's almost like a prehistoric underwater zoo, an underwater aquarium down there. Something happens, something big, crashes into their mini sub, and strands them. So they have to call in the best expert to go save them, which is Jason Stamos. So after a couple of quips with the guy who got him fired from the Navy and, some back and forth, Jason goes down, breaks through the thermal layer, saves his wife and one other member of the crew, and comes back. But what he finds down there is the Meg. The Megalosaur. Is it the Megalosaur or the Mega?
Megalodon. Is it Megalodon?
Megalodon. Hello, Megalodon. A giant shark that makes the one from Jaws look like a puppy. They eventually escape it. They break through the thermal layer. They think that they're fine. Come to find out that when they broke through the thermal layer, they did it with such speed that they opened up the thermal layer long enough for the Meg to come through. And now the Meg is running around the Pacific. And they go to try to hunt it down. And the rest of the movie is awesome shark scenes, some really scary underwater footage, a huge plot twist, and a very predictable ending. Now, don't get me wrong. I like the movie. It is what it is. It's a fun movie. It's a fantasy version of Jaws with a lot of action, a lot of adventure, good special effects. But if you're looking for a deep plot, if you're looking for intricate characters, if you're looking for, like, I never saw that coming, this is not the movie.
It's a popcorn movie. It's one of those ones. I saw it at the movies.
Yeah.
And it's one of those ones you go to the movies to watch.
Exactly. It's fun. You just shut off your brain for an hour and a half and have fun.
Exactly. Joe, have you ever fished the Mariana Trench?
No, not this week anyway.
I suggest you bring a big hook and a bigger boat.
Yeah. I've only fished tide pools in the ocean. I'm a Minnesota boy, so I'm lakes, rivers, and streams. That's kind of my thing.
That's probably pretty smart. You won't run into the Meg there.
Well, the boats are cheaper because they don't need to be nearly as big.
Well, I like that scene where the shark, the Meg, attacks that beach, and the guys in they're in those big old balls, and they're trying to get away from I thought that was pretty unique. Yeah. You'd never seen a shark kill like that.
No, and I mean those scenes just reminded me of Jaws so much. All you needed was the really badly dressed mayor telling people we need to keep the beach.
That's some bad hat, Harry.
Well, it did have a lot of nods to Jaws in it, which I thought was funny.
Yeah, it did.
It did.
It did.
It had some really good special effects, and I like the lab. It was like an oil rig type thing. Oh, yeah. That was pretty cool.
I mean, it had some good creepy scenes, like when the little girl is chasing her ball.
Yeah.
And then it just comes out of the water and bites the dome.
That's a good
little girl was kind of annoying, though.
Yeah. I wouldn't mind if the shark would have, ate her.
Graphics when they get below the thermal layer.
Yeah.
That was some beautiful cinematography. I don't know
yes.
if it was just all animated or what, but it was it was visually stunning. The shark itself was a lot more realistic than a lot of the animals in some of these movies we saw. It was huge. Gigantic.
And how
it was portrayed was very intimidating.
Did you see what Cecil said on there? He came here to drink beer and get weird, and he's all out of beer. There we go. So I guess he came here to get weird then.
He's at the right place.
Yeah.
It was a good movie. I liked it. I enjoyed it. It's I don't think I'd take my dead mother to see it, but I don't take her to see many movies as it is.
Well, yeah, that'd be kind of weird.
Well, I do write horror. Come on.
Yeah.
Not if you're Bates. Not if you're Bates.
And what I liked is they had a Longmire playing the dick in there. If you're a fan of Longmire, they got, I forgot the actor's name, he's an Australian dude. But he played,
Longmire. He's Walt. Yeah.
Walt Longmire playing a total dick in this one. Not just the Longmire attitude. This guy was.
Yeah. And And I mean, I'm not giving away anything great. He died so gloriously for him.
Yeah. And then Rainn Wilson, Dwight DeWiggett from The Office. Yeah. He played a total douchebag.
Yeah, he did.
And he had a good death in that, too.
Yes.
So, you're right. There was no real, like, oh my gosh moments. It was your standard, you know, giant monster in the ocean movie.
I get more frights on Shark Week, but I enjoyed it. I like shark movies.
And it was fun. And it was well done compared to, you know, Damn Sharks or Toxic Shark or Shark Claws.
Santa Jaws.
They could have showed some more prehistoric creatures beneath the thermal layer because really they were pretty standard ocean fish other than the Meg.
Well, I read the book. I don't know if any of you read the book. The book's a lot better than the movie.
I'm sure.
You know, but the opening scene is the Meg fighting a T-Rex because the T-Rex got too close and then they collapse into ice or something. And that was a pretty cool scene. And I think a lot of people that had read the book were disappointed that they didn't have that scene in the movie. You know, I mean, a dinosaur fighting a shark. Awesome.
I would have guessed there was a book for it.
Hey, when I was a kid, I used to play that in the bathtub, I'm sure.
When I was a kid, I had a model of the Titanic, and I used to just fill up the tub and slowly. I guess I was always destined to be a writer. I also heard today, I saw it in passing, I haven't checked it out, but apparently there are plans to produce the Meg 2.
Good. With Jason Statham?
I don't know. All I saw was when I was going through Twitter on my phone, it said the Meg 2, and then I lost connection.
How he took out the Meg was a little unbelievable at the end.
But that's Jason Statham, man.
I was wondering how he was going to work his martial arts into the movie, and I had no idea it would be 50 feet in the air with
Oh, no. Let me tell y'all. He is, like, truly, like, Jason Statham, the actor, is really, like, a dive champion in Britain. Yeah, and he did most of the scenes diving himself.
See, we have Hadley here to keep us in check on all our hunky male actors.
Yeah, I got to do that. Somebody's got to. Keep us in check.
But, yeah, he actually is. I knew that.
That's funny. I thought that would have been your strong point, Alan.
Well, I told you I knew that. I just wanted to give Hadley something to say.
Can I answer Mona's question?
Yes.
Yes.
There is a movie. It's a Sci-Fi Channel movie, which says it all, called Santa Jaws. It's about a shark that gets Christmas lights wrapped around its fin, a Santa hat over the fin, and then it goes up and down the Florida coast killing people.
You know what? I enjoyed that movie.
It was fun.
The cover of the movie is this drawing of a shark with a Santa's cap on it, right?
Yeah.
And so we're like, this got to be really epically bad, which it is. But it was actually had some heart to it, and it's a fun movie, and it's one you don't take serious. You know, it's probably made on $1.50, but it's a pretty funny movie, and it's silly. So don't go looking for
it's silly.
God.
It's a Sci-Fi Channel original. What can I say?
So if you love these shark movies, Toxic Sharks, Trailer Park Sharks, you'll love Santa Jaws.
Yes.
So Joe, do you have a handle now kind of on how we do this?
I think I can grasp what's going on here.
Okay. First of all, the Meg.
It is Thursday, right?
Huh?
It is Thursday, right?
It is Thursday.
Okay, good. Yeah. I wanted to make sure I was actually here.
I hope that's you. So do we have any more to say about the Meg?
No.
Hadley?
Good movie. Bring your kids. Stay out of clear plastic balls in the ocean. Because that was a good scene when he was running at the ball. And he just ran right over the other swimmers.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty funny.
Oh, Hadley. We lost Hadley.
Yeah, I would give it 3.8.
Oh, there she is. 3.8? What would you give it, Hadley?
3.8. 3 is kind of insulting, so I'd probably go to 3.8, 3.5, that area.
Yeah, I'm with them. 3.8. Yeah, I enjoyed it, but I mean, I left it at the movie when I left. You know, it was right. It's a popcorn and, you know, a rainy day movie. That's what it is. Mm.
I felt a little uncomfortable when that Chinese lady was checking Jason Statham out. That kind of made me uncomfortable. So I'll give it a 3.8 too. Because I had to keep watching that scene too. You know. And then I took my shirt off and I thought, I better put my shirt back on. Okay, so it's unanimous, 3.8 for the Meg.
Just keep in mind that only about 0.1 of the population ever has a body like him.
Yes. You know?
He probably doesn't have a body like him. It's probably airbrushed.
No kidding. You see that and you're like, is that even real?
That poor guy.
You pay me $30 million a movie, I'll work out at the gym every day for 3 hours.
I might take more than that, but
he hadn't really done a good movie lately.
He is a tremendous martial artist.
Yeah.
I know. Without going down a rabbit hole, my favorite movie with him is the spy movie with
Melissa McCarthy.
McCarthy, yes. Yeah, that's where great. She plays this obnoxious, macho, narcissistic, asshole case officer.
Inept, too.
Inept. He is such a perfect foil to her. And the sad thing was, you guys like
that's a good movie. If you haven't seen that,
that's a funny movie.
Spy with Melissa McCarthy. It's hilarious.
Now, what was the movie where he was the driver? Because that's the first thing I ever saw him in. And I just loved it.
Several of them where he was the driver. But
what was that one?
With the James Bond license plate that would flip around.
Oh, what was that one? Somebody out there, anybody know that Jason stuff?
Cecil. Cecil knows. He knows everything.
What was that one? Yeah. That was
Transporter.
A fun one.
That was Transporter. A good movie. The original. Yeah. The original one. That was good.
Yes, and they ruined it. I saw him in that. I saw that new Guy Ritchie movie that he made, Wrath of Man.
Snatch is probably the best movie he ever did. And if you haven't seen it, you've got to watch it.
Folks, look for Snatch.
It's a Guy Ritchie movie. It's got Brad Pitt in it. And Brad Pitt plays like a gypsy.
Yeah, that's a good movie, Snatch. What do you think, Scott? You
like Never Snatch? Seen it.
Okay.
Never seen the movie.
You never seen it. Okay, I'm sorry.
I don't know, y'all.
Long week. Long week, folks.
I swear to God, when you put guys together, we go to the lowest common IQ. Albert Einstein on that show, the jerk show there, the guy, I can't remember the old one that used to be so funny. He would be going down a hill in a shopping cart.
Not a damn one of us is very mature.
No.
Including Hadley.
I know. I'm trying to be nice.
Well, see, Hadley doesn't show her face, so she can just hit the mute button and laugh out loud. The rest of us have got to.
Right. I love a good Guy Ritchie movie. He hasn't put anything out really that I've enjoyed in a while, though. I think these Sherlock Holmes ones are really good. This is Rabbit Hole.
Yeah.
What did I watch? I watched, what was it? I'm going to have to look it up because I bought it. I like his movies, like his style. And,
yeah.
The Gentleman, it had Matthew McConaughey in it.
Oh, I haven't seen that one. That one
was
good.
Yeah, it's not as good as Snatch, and that was classic. That everyone should watch that. But it's good to watch. You're just going to giggle every time I say it, aren't you? You and Scott started red.
I would say something, but my kids might be listening or something. But, you know, it's hard to beat Snatch in the Guy Ritchie catalog. This new one, Wrath of Man, I liked it, but it's not one of his best, I think. So.
I was excited about the King Arthur one, but it just wasn't, it was like, that wasn't they just had a movie entitled it King Arthur, and it had nothing to do with King Arthur. But
no, yeah. that was kind of a weird movie.
It was kind of weird. But yeah. The special effects in it were great. That slithery lady that was like all the eels, and it was they were creepy.
King Arthur was no snatch.
It was. You're just going to keep on, aren't you?
Okay, let's go in our, next one.
That one until it leaves the barn.
So, Joe, you see what we do. Are you ready to do your movie?
Sure.
Okay, what was your movie?
My movie was The Host.
The Host.
Wasn't it The Host?
I'm sorry.
It was a Korean-made movie where some people, white people, they were like Kevin Costner and Robin Hood, and white people didn't speak Korean. They spoke English. But, you know, it was, I picked that one because of the comedic element that I saw in the previews. And then it turned out to be not all that funny. The monster is a giant fish with feet, kind of a koi fish, so it would be a carp, but it had teeth, very big teeth. And it just would go around and kill and destroy everything, really. I wasn't impressed with the movie that much. Don't remember much of the ending, and I wouldn't recommend anybody pick it up. Now, I'm usually kind of fond of Korean movies, like I like Train to Busan. I didn't like the follow-up Peninsula, but and then they had that Korean actress on it who was in this TV show Senses 8. I don't know if any of you saw Senses 8, but
no.
That was a good science fiction TV show. It just got too expensive for them to keep making. Had a huge following, but every episode, it's like eight people that are connected all around the world, so all their filming was done on location, so it just got too expensive, but it was good. And the Korean girl in that was the same girl that was the archer in The Host. And wouldn't recommend it. I'd give it probably 3 stars, maybe 2.5. Wasn't as funny as I'd hoped. The acting was kind of bad. And that's kind of where I sit with what I chose.
I'm going to blow your mind. Yeah. That was one of the highest grossing movies in Korea ever made.
Yes. Isn't that crazy?
That's crazy.
Well, how do you think of it?
Oh, go ahead, Scott.
That was about the time that, up until about that time, the highest grossing movies in Korea were American films. And the Koreans started making their own movies. So I like it for the fact that it showed the originality. I mean, yes, I don't like the movie itself. I think it's way too much character development, not enough The Host. But after that, the Korean film industry just blossomed. And because of that, we've got Train to Busan, Seoul Station, The Host, The Kingdom, so many other great Korean stuff.
And you never really got a feeling of what was motivating the creature.
You know? No.
And well, it was a creature. It got a creature. That's what they do. That's their motivation, man. Attack, pillage, eat. You know.
Sounds like me on The Weeknd.
I guess I was hoping for more.
I'm with him. I kept wondering why it was taken and throwing up people. Yeah. I know it was to eat later, but I mean, some of them were alive, some of them weren't. I mean, partially what was up with that?
Which was a cool scene, by the way.
Yeah.
And they spit out that guy and you could see through his hand and, you know, and that was kind of cool, but
yeah. It did have good, special effects.
I enjoyed the monster. And I enjoyed the monster when it was like doing its ninja stuff up in the little, I don't even know what it was, I guess trellis thing. It was cool and it was really well done. It had potential, Joe. I could see why you picked it. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to lie. I like those movies.
I would probably watch the movie if whatever came out because it wasn't totally unenjoyable. And I did see a Facebook comment where somebody said that they loved The Host.
Yeah.
They probably turned us off now because I gave it such a little.
No, there's still there.
Compared to the other three movies, I think it is the worst of the four.
Well, and Korean tradition, these movies end kind of bad. This one ended kind of bad. The dad died. You know, the kid was an orphan now, right? You know?
Well, and I was always a fan of Godzilla movies.
Yeah.
I love Godzilla movies. And so, you know, when you said sea monster, I automatically went, you know, Japan or Korea, they've got to have some awesome sea monsters. So that's kind of why I went that route. Because, you know, I couldn't justify Godzilla being a sea monster because Godzilla's like a kind of a T-Rex.
It's kind of like an iguana, isn't he?
Yeah. Isn't he like a Komodo or something? Isn't he like, wasn't he on like one of those islands in the Bikini Atoll? Or
he never walks on four legs.
Yeah, but he, according to Raymond Burr back in the old black and white one,
yeah.
You know, they nuked the tests they were doing over there. Wasn't he like a salamander or something?
Well, in the original movie, I thought they woke him up. He was buried in the water, hibernating, and the nuclear explosion woke him up. But then every movie has, there's like one movie that's really, really bad in which he's a T-Rex on a Japanese-held island during World War II. And when the Americans test the atomic bomb, they turn him from T-Rex into Godzilla.
Yeah. So there's no real canon except for radiation.
No.
Right.
That's it.
Man, the only thing about the movies I read in that every Godzilla movie, he destroys a controversial building in every movie. So like
really?
If you're watching, and if you're watching and you're like, well, why is he going after that building? There's a controversy about it in Japan, so he destroys it and all the people go.
Here would be the White House, right?
Yeah, and Congress.
And Congress, everything. I mean, every year. I think Iguana. Yeah, that's what I thought, but I'm no Godzilla expert. Scott, I defer to Scott.
Same.
Thank you.
Scott is a Godzilla man. So
I loved Godzilla as a kid. You know, I thought it was pretty cool, but.
Oh,
as a kid.
I'm going to go against the grain here in popular thought, probably, but I love that Matthew Broderick movie.
The Matthew Broderick movie is a brilliant movie, just they should not have named it Godzilla. If you sit down and watch it as a large monster movie, it's a fantastic movie. If you got the old Godzilla movies in the back of your mind, it's horrendous.
But it's got Jean Reno in it.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. As a movie, it's great. And having all the little Godzillas come up and all the like the comical fight scenes in the stadium, that's a riot.
Yeah. I highly enjoy that movie. And Godzilla versus King Kong. I thought that was fun. Huh?
Godzilla New Karate and Godzilla versus
Well, you know, he knew who his foe was.
That's true.
So why do we give the host?
I also enjoyed the King Kong movies, you know. I kind of identified with the ape man.
In the 1990s and the early 2000s, every Godzilla movie opened with a fight scene with another monster. It was just the way of introducing.
Rodan was one of them.
Yeah. In one of them, he attacks the American Godzilla, the Matthew Broderick one, and wipes him out in 3 seconds.
Wow. They're making a statement there, huh?
Yeah.
So are you saying, Scott, having said that about every scene in those movies opening with another monster, Godzilla can't carry a movie by himself anymore?
Oh, yes, he can. It's like a James Bond movie where you have to have that over-the-top action scene.
Did you guys ever see the movie preview, Godzilla versus Bambi?
Yes.
Yes. Oh, my God. I laughed for 10 minutes at that one.
Have you seen that one, Hadley?
I have homework. I'm going to have to look it up. I haven't seen it.
It's great. We're not going to spoil it for you.
Don't tell
it.
Godzilla versus Bambi on YouTube.
And it's not very long.
Yeah, it's just a trailer.
Yep, It's hilarious.
Oh, it's very short, but the plot line is sick.
Yeah. Yep. So what do we give the host, folks?
I give it a 2.5.
Scott?
I'll give it a 3 because it was a well-made movie, but I can't give it any higher than that because it was a horrible monster movie.
And the acting was really bad.
Yeah.
Hadley?
I'm going to give it a 3, and I have some trivia for y'all. Okay, the opening scene, that was really based on something that happened with an American on a military base, with 120 liters of formaldehyde being put into the morgue's plumbing and going into the Han River and getting into Seoul's drinking water.
Wow.
Because of dusty bottles.
Was it dusty bottles?
Yeah, that's why he was pouring it in, because there was dust on the bottle. Made no sense.
I never understood what was wrong with the dad. Because, you know, they were doing all those tests on him, and he slept all the time.
Yeah, and he always seemed drunk. I almost got the impression that he was mentally handicapped.
Yeah, I did too. But it was never clear to me. Like, if that was his superpower or what?
Yeah, maybe it was, you know. Not smart enough to be afraid. I've suffered from that in the past.
I'll give it a 3.5. I enjoyed this movie.
Did you?
I really did. Except for the part where the dad died. I was like, oh, man. But Asian movies are like that. They're not like American movies where there's always a happy ending.
Oh, yeah.
It killed me when they saw her picture on the wall and they all fell out on the floor rolling around crying.
Yeah.
That was
funny.
Yeah. But I enjoyed this movie. And did you see Tony's comment? He had the comic book Godzilla versus Charles Barkley.
Tony would, because Tony's the coolest.
I like to see that. I like to see that one. Put a picture of that on Facebook if you can, Tony, if you got that. That'd be cool. I'd like to see that. Okay, so basically, I'm outvoted by the three of you.
Yes.
Okay. I see how you guys
at
are.
Some
you
point, we need on the to show a tally of these and post them somewhere.
Be a Democrat for the night. I'm going to up mine to a 3 so I can be like them.
I demand a recount.
Like, Joe's cheating.
Okay. 2.5. Damn it.
Okay. Hadley, did you want to go next or you want to go last?
I'll go next.
Okay. And your movie is tonight?
My movie was Crawl. And I love this movie. It terrifies me. It has all the elements. It had Mother Nature wreaking havoc with a hurricane coming bearing down on Florida. And this little college girl is trying to get in touch with her dad because she's worried he hadn't left the house. So she drives through the storm. She gets down there, and I live in the South, and I can tell y'all, hurricane weather is like that. It's really just sheets of rain, and it's very distressing. But so it was really real. But she looks for the dad. She can't find him. She finally goes down in the basement, and I think I can't remember if she hears him or what, but he's not alone. There's like a nest of these huge alligators down there. And they've apparently come up from the lake because, you know, it's Florida, right? But it was gruesome. It was scary. I jumped out of my skin when the cop got attacked and dragged down. I was all in this movie. So it's not the best movie I've seen, but it was great for what it is, which is one of these creature thrillers. Mm-hmm. And I can't say I was disappointed watching it. So. That's in a nutshell. I'm not going to do any spoilers. Y'all are more spoilers than me. I want people to watch.
And the girl was
a swimmer.
College swimmer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Now, there were some ridiculous parts in it. I'm not going to lie. I mean, all of the alligators being that big was not realistic. And them there being that many and them being that hungry, yes. That just wasn't realistic, but...
Some
and
of the
fact
injuries
that it could It could break through the outdoor window into the living room, but it couldn't get into the shower.
Yeah. I mean, that's a cool scene, but it's like, okay, it would break those doors down in a heartbeat. I mean, she might be able to get away from it, you know, but it would get right through those.
But you
and, know, and it would grab them. It would let them go. I mean, the minute it grabbed down, why wasn't it rolling around?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a movie. Taking away the movie magic there, Scott.
But, it's a intense movie. Some parts of it are pretty intense.
Alligators can crawl up and over chain link fences and do. And I've seen on like this lady in Florida, like went down to get a glass of wine or something. And there was one in her kitchen. I mean, so this is something that feasibly could happen in Florida.
It could.
This was my favorite movie of the four, to be honest. I thought it was great. I'm looking at property down in Everglades, Florida, to retire to, and the landscape around it was perfect. You know, I mean, the unbelievable things were being trapped in a basement when you've got ornamental brick that crumbles like sand if you hit it all around you, and you know, I mean, that was kind of unrealistic. How he could move with a broken leg the way he did, that was unrealistic. But all in all, the crocodiles, alligators were done really well, and I really felt you know, that there was a threat and something, not on this magnitude, but something like this could actually happen, you know. So I really enjoyed it, and I thought the acting was decent, and I thought the movie was put together well. You know, out of the four that were chosen, I'd go with this one all the way.
Well, the dad was played by Barry Pepper, Saving Private Ryan, the sniper.
I love him.
He was the sniper in Saving Private Ryan.
Yeah. And some of the injuries he sustained in this movie.
Yeah.
That last one, you know, it's like, oh my gosh, you know. But I thought it was a good movie. It kept my attention. And when those cops got killed, oh my gosh.
Well, like one of the scenes, I had seen it when it first came out, and I couldn't remember a thing about the movie. And when I watched it again last night, I remember, like the scene when it closes on her arm and she empties the entire revolver into it and it doesn't phase it.
Yeah, that was.
Hey, it really depends on the gun, though. And I say that because I had a friend. I live in Mississippi. I had a friend that shot a possum and it didn't kill it, but he shot it point blank. But it was because it was a small caliber bullet, and it was a possum. It wasn't even an alligator with a six.
That's all we need is a movie about killer possums.
Hey,
you know, we'll give the only marsupial in North America a bad name.
Hey, Brandy.
Hey, Brandy.
Brandy's watching tonight. Hey, Brandy, shout out to you. It was enjoyable. I can't really. I mean, we could tear apart these parts, and they're fun. But I enjoyed it. I mean, I felt sorry for that one policeman that's out there in the water, and he looks over, and all of them come, and they just rip. You know, they each got an arm and a leg, and it's like, holy crap. Not even the bad guys died that bad. Those one, well, not bad guys, but the people that were robbing the Stop and Shop there, they didn't even get it that bad. This poor guy was looking to help them, help. Yes.
The scary thing was he saw that it was an alligator out there in the swing set. So he knew what was in the water with him.
Yeah. That'd be horrible.
Yep.
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to, it was produced by Sam Raimi.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Evil Dead fame. And it was directed by Alexander Asia. And he's done a lot of horror movies, especially French ones. He's a French director. So I can't remember the name of this one that was really popular. High Tension. I think he directed that one. Really bloody movies. No good ending. And so this is a little departure for him in a way. I mean, a lot of blood in this one, but.
The one thing I did like about the movie was, as Hadley was referring to, I lived in Florida, and every night on the local news, they'd report an alligator somewhere. Somebody walked out. It was like there was two of them swimming in our swimming pool. You know, you'd find them on the front porch, like Allie said, the one that was sitting in the kitchen. But I don't know. I would give this one a 2.8.
Wow.
And I think I'm being generous. Way generous.
Hater. You're a hater. Yes. Can't believe it.
Yes. Wow.
Okay, Joe, what about you?
I'd go 4.5. I liked it. I really enjoyed it. I could watch it again, actually. So, yeah, 4.5. As far as we're talking horror movies, sea monster right. in particular. And as far as sea monster movies go, yeah, I'd definitely go 4.
Okay, Hadley, how about you? We'll let you say if you.
4.5.
Anything you want to say to Scott?
I told you he's a hater.
I'll give it a 4.00. I enjoyed it. I might watch it again down the road. I recommend it.
If you like, they made a sequel.
Oh, really?
Really?
I think so. I never watched it, of course, but check out on Amazon. There might be a sequel. I know, Tony. I know. Haters always hate.
Well, you know when she's crawling on the ground when she first gets down underneath the house, right? Yeah. There's room for her to hunch. You know, she could kind of hunch as to getting on her hands and knees and getting all that muck. My wife and I were both kind of like, why isn't she just hunched over, you know, instead of crawling through all that crap? But
this was the only one that my wife could sit through, actually.
Really?
Really?
Oh. Deal.
Yeah, yeah. I was anxious watching it. I mean, it was
all that British stuff, you know.
She likes the Downton Abbey.
That kind of crap.
So, okay, so we're 3-1 on this one.
Yep. Okay. Scott's a hater.
Yeah.
What did he give the Meg? I got to compare this in my head.
I gave the Meg, I think, what was it? 3.8?
Yeah.
Really?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, Jason Statham had his shirt off.
Definitely.
Okay.
The Meg didn't compared to the crawl at all.
Yeah, I don't.
As far as believability or quality of the film, actually, but that's just me. I like the Meg; it was enjoyable, but the crawl, I actually
it was no crawl. Well, crawl actually, like I said, I mean, I jumped. I was scared. You know, I had a physical reaction to it, so. That's when I'm looking for a horror movie. That's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for something that's really going to make me nervous.
Well, I like the relationship part between the daughter and the father. Cause, you know, I've had fallings out with my daughters, not that bad with my daughter that, and you know, I could kind of relate to being out of touch for a little bit with them. And then, you know, then being upset at you over something, you know, and you don't talk to him for a while.
Is that the same daughter that reveals your sexuality online about
Yes, never leave your password protected media platform open for her.
Well, if you picked up some donuts on the way over, she might not do that.
I start, then I'm tired. I just want to go home. I have like a 45-minute drive.
She's a very funny person. I've never met her, but...
Oh, she's hilarious.
Oh, she's got to be.
She's hilarious, and I think she's blood related. Yeah, it surprises me too.
Like Convoy Alan, the one that we brought to the first trade show. You know, that's the funniest Alan I've ever met.
Well, the guys from Falnix, they all went to Walker Stalker 2016.
Yeah,
or 2016. And I couldn't go. My dad was really ill. And I mean, at the last week, I had to bail out. And so I had a cardboard cutout of myself, full size made. And I sent it to Joe, right? I sent it to you, Joe?
No, you sent it to Rich.
Okay. I sent it to Rich Baker to take to Walker Stalker. So I'm sure it was molested many times. Finally got it back.
It was a lot of fun. Everybody had their picture taken with it.
Yeah. The cardboard Alan had a good time, I guess.
It's like your weekend at Bernie's.
Yeah. He doesn't say much to me. He's around here. So I got my new office. Yeah. I moved again, so it's not up yet.
But I've been watching that gun in the background.
Oh, yeah. There we go.
What's that from?
Gears of War.
Oh, all right. I knew it looked good.
Highly impractical. Chainsaw on the front, you know.
Man. Yeah, but that was great when you got ate by the wolf.
Yeah. Yes. But,
wow,
so.
You got a lot of crap.
I do. It's all boxes today. I haul it back upstairs. So I got I've been, you know, busy, so I got to get it going. Just like you, you know, we all got busy.
Well, life gets in the way, brother.
It does. It does. Life gets in the way of Facebook. Okay. So my movie was Deep Rising. I love this movie. I love this movie. There's a gambling ship. It's new and it's got its opening cruise.
Hey, Judy.
Full of money. Hi, Judy.
Hey, Judy.
It's going to get robbed by a bunch of multinational bad guys. And they pay Treat Williams, who is the captain of this smuggling it's a PT boat, right? A torpedo boat that's all tricked out. So they go to this, they're going to this casino ship. Well, anyway, this casino ship gets attacked by this giant tentacle, kills just about everybody on board. Or they get away. And so this band of bad guys, they get on the ship and they face the monster that's on the ship and it kills them one by one until it's just Treat Williams, Famke Janssen.
Yes.
And I can't remember the guy, Treat Williams' sidekick, who's the engineer of the PT.
Oh, yeah.
Is it Kevin O'Connor?
Kevin O'Connor. And so it's them fighting the monster. This movie was written and directed by the Stephen Sommers, who did the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies.
No, he wasn't.
And the Scorpion King.
A-team, was he?
Huh?
He wasn't face on the A team, was he?
No.
Who was the captain of the PT boat?
No.
He was
no.
Like face from the A team. So.
Yeah, no, no. Treat Williams, he was big in. A little bit in the 80s, and then he hit B movie.
Was he ever big?
Yeah, he had like a. Oh, he was in Midnight Express.
Well, I like him. He's one of the B actors I really like.
Oh, yeah, me too. I'm a big Treat Williams fan.
Midnight Express, the guy in the prison?
Yeah, he was the guy in the prison.
Well, that was an intense movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, that made his career, and then he did a few more pictures, and he kind of just. But he did that. He made that movie. The substitute, where like a commando goes undercover school as a substitute. And,
I thought that was Tom Berenger.
Well, he took either. Oh, Tom Berenger started it, and then Treat Williams took over the series.
Okay.
After that, because there's like two or three movies after that. I'm sorry, you're right, Tom Berenger. Anyway, we're down this hole here, but so it's directed by the guy that did the Brendan Fraser Mummy movies are written by him. So a lot of the humor is the same, similar. Kevin O'Connor plays a squealy bad guy like he did in the Mummy movie, the first one. I love this movie. The characters are great. The bad guys are great. You'll recognize a lot of B actors you'll recognize in it. Special effects I thought were pretty good. I love when he's jet skiing through the casino ship trying to get away from the monster.
Well, I'll say it had a really good cast. It had a really good cast. A lot of people I didn't remember were in it. That African actor that he's gone on to do a lot of really big stuff. His death scene was phenomenal.
Yes. It had some gruesome parts in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then that redheading English guy, he had a pretty good death too. Didn't his face get melted off?
Jason Fleming?
Yeah, Jason Fleming, yes. And he's in that movie that you were suggesting we watch.
I know, The Kingdom.
Yeah.
If and you like fantasy, that was a good one.
And he's also in the Pennyworth series. If you ever get a chance to watch the Pennyworth series about Alfred the Butler of Batman, it's actually a pretty fun series.
I'll have to check that out.
Yeah. If you ever watched Gotham and you were kind of a fan of Gotham, it's just like that. It's made by the same guys.
Cool.
Do you know who did the special effects for that movie?
No.
Rob Bottin who did the thing.
Really?
Did you catch the nod to the thing when the Treat Williams and the head bad guy were in the hallway and it comes down the hallway and the floorboard starts buckling under the
floor? Yeah, I didn't put that together.
Was the minute I saw that I said, oh my god, that's the thing.
There was also something else on. I like at the end where they escape to the island, and then they have a nod to Skull Island.
I was going to ask.
Moving like something big's coming.
I was going to ask, is that a Skull Island spin thing?
That's what it seemed like.
I thought so too. That's exactly what I thought.
But this movie wasn't a hit, so I think they kind of kiboshed that.
But neither was the thing.
Judy, it was a very fun ride the second time or 15th time I've seen it. I'm not sure which.
That's one of my top movies. It's one of those like The Thing and the remake of The Blob. It's got a 1950s feel done in a 1980s style.
I'm gonna say blasphemy, Scott. You can't compare this movie to The Thing.
Oh, that was a compliment on my part. It was one of those great things. It builds slowly. You see a tentacle. Well, you see the ship hit by something. It's big on the radar. Then you see a tentacle or two. Then you see the big tentacle with the mouth that eats somebody. And it just slowly builds until you get to the final monster near the end of the movie.
Right.
The bad guy in that movie, every time you see him in any movie, you know he's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And you know he's going to be exactly the same bad guy he is in every movie he does.
But I love seeing Wes. That's Wes Studi. Yeah. And I love seeing him in movies. I don't
mind him, but it's just he's very predictable because he's always going to be, you know, after the buck and kind of squishy and kind of a very cowardly and... You know, but yeah, he doesn't thrill me. You know,
are you talking about the Native American, the leader of the commando, or the
blonde guy who?
You're talking about the guy that was in Silence of the Lambs,
right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm talking about the blonde guy who owned the ship. You know, he was really the bad guy.
Oh yeah, he was.
The gangster wasn't the true bad guy. He was right. He was initially who you thought was. But it was the guy who had all the money and paid for the ship and, you know, the corporate guy. He's always the true bad guy, and he's the one that lived the longest and died the worst.
Perfect 1980s.
Every time you see him in a movie, you know what kind of bad guy he's going to be.
He's just a weak-looking man.
But I got to be the hater on this one, and... You know, I would give it more than The Host, but only by a 0.25. So I'd go a 2.75
on this. You're killing me, man.
Sorry, bro. It just didn't thrill me. You know, I thought the whole ship where it is just loaded with people, and then all of a sudden the PT boat comes up, and they're all crowded into one room and turned into jelly in a matter of, you know, course of an hour that we didn't get to see, it just didn't thrill me, you know, at all. But hey, you know,
and I invited you on this show.
Traitor.
I had no idea that we were supposed to be taking this stuff personally. If I would have known that.
He's got one feeling.
Yep. Well, so Joe, you're saying Deep Rising is no Snatch.
No, not by any. I don't think there's any boys out there looking for Deep Rising.
But is there people looking for Snatch?
Wait a minute now. Let me take that.
Scott's turning red again.
This is a movie I could put on and watch.
Sexual harassment. Don't do that to me ever again.
No, I want, When they were talking about Rising and Snatch, I...
For the viewers who are just tuning in.
We're talking about Guy Ritchie's movie.
Guy Ritchie's movie, Snatch, is one of my favorite movies. So
send all complaints to Hadley Thor.
At Hadley.
We brought us down this road. We're just victims.
Right. Right.
You know? She probably was quite aware of how easy it is to trigger that adolescent genius.
I actually have the sense of humor of a 12-year-old boy, so I can't really say much.
We've done a few shows, Joe. We've done a few shows, so. Well, this one, like I said, I could watch this one again and again.
Yes.
I mean, not in a row, but, you know, I really enjoyed it. I'm sorry that you're lame, but I still love you.
It's okay, man. It's okay.
And the thinner you get, the more I'm attracted to you. So,
who are you nameless now? We can't tell.
Like, I do have to tell you, though, the jet ski stunts on it, this is one thing that I kind of endears me. This. Yeah, but I know the guy. We're not buddies or anything, but I went to high school with him, Larry Rippenkroger. And he's done Waterworld.
Hey,
he's done Hey, Saldana. I went to high school with him, and his sister was in my class. He's like two classes ahead of me, but he's done a lot of movies, Larry Rippenkroger.
But you're not friends?
No, we're not buddies. You know,
maybe,
I mean,
he's not lame, and that's saying something about you. I'm your friend, and I'm lame.
But yeah, so I always, whenever there's a jet ski movie in there, and I look him up, and oh yeah, Larry, okay. But just a little bit of trivia there.
Yeah, I got a friend like that. We're not friends, but we know each other. We work together, and he does a lot of stunts for snowboard.
Oh wow!
I'm back.
He's won the X Games, gold in the X Games, like 3 times, and he just recently retired. But when they have scenes and they need a snowboarder, they usually call him.
But that's cool.
Yeah,
that's like Larry. He made a career out of going around the world on his jet ski. So,
boy,
what a life!
That neck, you know, that would be great.
Yep.
It's like all these people, like Ben Milliken, he goes around fishing for bass and he makes millions. You know, I'd sure like to be that guy.
Right. So, okay, Joe.
Yes, sir.
We got your review. How about you, Hadley?
I'm going to go 3.5 because I did enjoy it. It had a great cast, and it's always fun to see people that you recognize. And there was like 20 people. Well, I won't say 20, but there was a bunch.
Oh yeah.
And
the whole mercenary team or whatever was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I really like Treat Williams, and I think he's an underrated B actor. I think he should do more stuff. But I mean, I enjoy it. And like I said, I've probably seen it 15 times. I watch it every time I come across it on TV. So it's not something I turn off.
Yay.
It's one of those rainy day movies.
Right. You know? Right. Except if you're Joe, it's, you know.
Joe turns it off.
So that's okay.
Joe's like, I'll watch the Meg instead. Yeah. How about you, Scott?
As a movie, I would give it 3.8, but it's one of my favorite movies. I'll watch it all the time. That, The Blob, The Thing, you know, if I'm clicking through and it's on, it stays on while I work. It's one of my favorites.
Good man.
I have to say this. You're rubbing off on me because when I was watching it, I was thinking they're not running out of bullets.
Yeah, right. Well, you gotta, there's a giant monster. Of course, you're gonna have
endless. Never reloaded. I can hear you in my head going, it's one of those movies. They never reload.
But it's a giant monster, so you gotta give it a pass, right? Or a giant blob. I give it a 4. I love this movie. I, when I saw it, I was like, wow. And I would love to write something like that. So. I love this movie, Joe. I don't even know who you are.
Okay, Alan, I think we can get through this. Next time I come over, I'll pick out something special to wear.
Bring him donuts.
And yeah. We'll go from there, you know.
Just like Ric Flair. Hey, true story. We're in Nashville, and we're at this bar eating dinner, all of us. W.J. Lundy, Rich Baker, Andrew Werland, the voice narrator that was on.
And our family.
And our families. And, no, JL Bourne didn't join us, huh? He went home early.
No, he went home early.
Who else was?
JL Bourne is funny.
Yeah, he is a funny dude.
He comes off like a real jerk sometimes online, but I tell you, dry sense of humor, he is one of the funniest people you will ever meet.
But heart of gold.
Incredibly polite.
Dude's got a big heart too. Yeah. And he might, you know, you won't see that online. Sometimes you will, but he, in person, he's really great. I mean, but so we're there waiting to get taxis, Ubers back to the hotel because everybody's been drinking a little bit. Just a little bit. And we get word Ric Flair is downtown there in Tennessee. And we didn't get to see him, though, did we, Joe?
No, we didn't. Everybody says that I look like Ric Flair.
Yeah, the wrestler, Ric Flair, the wrestler. Woohoo, guys.
Yeah.
And we didn't get to see him that night, though. We were looking. We wanted to get a picture of Joe and Ric Flair together. That would have been awesome.
Well, and the funny thing is, when I started out in restaurants, I was probably 21 years old, and I was working with my wife. We'd only known each other for 6 months, but I worked in this restaurant in Bloomington, Minnesota, that was right on the 494th Strip. And Bloomington, Minnesota is where the AWA wrestling started up. So every night I was having, I don't know if you guys know any wrestlers, but Jerry Blackmore and Larry Zbysko and Hulk Hogan and Ric Flair, they would all come through my restaurant and late at night, and they would clean out the salad bar because we were one of like the first salad bars in the state. And they would, I mean, we'd see them come in and we'd all of a sudden go back and start prepping vegetables and get that salad bar full up. So, but Ric Flair was actually, you know, he was one of the more polite and courteous of the wrestlers than any of them. Larry Zbysko was a jerk. He threatened the boy. He said he was trying to hit on one of the waitresses, and I was walking by filling the salad bar, and I said, "Hey, yeah, I saw you wrestle last night." And he said, "Yeah, you want me to take you outside and put you in a figure four?" I'm like sitting there with, you know, hard-boiled eggs here and cheese in this arm and a big bowl of lettuce here, and I'm just like, "No, not really." So he was a jerk, but Ric Flair, he was always really polite and a big tipper, and, you know, not to me, to the waitresses, but, you know, they're a super nice guy. Hulk Hogan, you know, I mean, he's just bigger than life. He's always nice, but when somebody that size comes in, even if he's not a wrestler, he's practically 7 feet tall and 340 pounds, and you just shut up and watch him go by.
That's sage advice. Of course you did, Tony. Tony met Ric Flair in Atlantic City at a horror convention 4 years ago. Awesome guy, super nice. Of course you did, Tony. Is there anybody else you haven't met?
Tony's too cool.
Yes. Tony's all over the place. Yeah. So.
Sorry, Alan. It wasn't you. It was the movie, okay?
Okay. Wasn't me. It was the movie. Yes, we're friends still.
I don't care that I'm lame. I really don't.
Hadley blacklist him off the list of guests. No, blacklist that Viking.
He's invited back so we can talk to Max Hawthorne about fish.
Ah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I like this. I like doing things like this. Now, I don't know if you guys only are in charge of any websites or Facebook pages. I just recently left all of them except Fallon because I wasn't getting any work done. I wasn't seeing the posts that I wanted to see on Facebook. I wasn't getting any writing done, and I just had to clean house. So if I did that and that offended anybody, it's not personal. I've got this 9-book series that I'm trying to finish up. I'm almost done with book 8, and I'm
I'm working with Devil Dog Press right now, the first time I've had a publisher, and Tracy Tufo is who I'm working with, and so I'm really focused on this, and there was just too much going on and too much and so much negative going on, and how many times do I have to be asked, what's on your left is your only weapon, what are you going to kill the zombies with? Well, here it is, you know, or maybe I could grab my headset. I could kill something with this. I know I could. You know? So if I offended any of you by leaving and it was your page, it was not personal.
I don't think anybody knew you left.
Well, and that's okay. That's okay. I never have too much to say unless you're there. You're the one I picked on.
Well, you know, he was a big princess, and he made this announcement. Oh, I'm leaving all these groups on Facebook. Oh, I'm nuking everything. But that was just to me. He didn't do it publicly.
And no, I was like, do it publicly.
No, and I was like,
said, you know, and I did that because you're like the administrator on like 17, 18 different pages.
Not anymore. I'm only administrator on one now.
And the Thunderdome.
Yeah, and the Thunderdome. Yeah, that's true.
Which had another Sambo on there that was posting dirty jokes just like you do. It must be a blood thing.
Yeah, I got some cousins and an uncle on there too. Any Gamboa you see on there is related.
Yeah.
But I get that. I get the negative. We just had a big ordeal, and I'm not going to say what group it was or who it was, but yeah, it just rocked some people and hurt some people's feelings because it was not cool. So I get that, and I get the time suck of Facebook. It is a time suck.
There are people who become administrators for pages, and they're like egomaniacs about it. They think they actually have control over somebody's life. And I'm sorry, but this is Facebook. I mean, if you're nice and friendly and we'll talk and joke, I'm all for it.
Yeah.
But if you're going to try and control me and tell me what to do, you know, you're going to have to take a flying leap because, you know, there's only one person in the world that's had any luck at that, and I married her for 38 years, and I ain't looking to get married again.
Well, Hadley and Scott and I have been in the same boat that way, and yeah.
Hadley, you're ignoring one of our users.
It must be you she's ignoring.
Yeah, right? It just says Facebook user.
No, there was a big thing that came up on the screen. It says, Hadley, you're ignoring me.
spill the tea, Pops. That's my daughter wanting me to give the gossip up.
Hey, Hadley, are you okay?
Hadley?
Hadley, you okay?
Hadley.
Hadley?
Give that girl some water.
Oh, maybe she was abducted by aliens.
Maybe she wants to go grab snatch.
Maybe there's an alligator in her house.
There you go.
Hadley.
Got a 3.5. Yeah, she must have got busy. But no, this was a lot of fun. I enjoyed this. Oh.
Well, we're glad you were on. You know, the four of us do this, or the three of us do this every Thursday night as far as we can. We just grab some movies and usually with a theme like this. Oh, there's Hadley.
Hi, Hadley.
Hi, Hadley.
What did you say? She hates us.
Yeah.
She's reading all the hate mail she got from our masters. Alan, what's the next topic of discussion for movies? Do you remember?
Oh my gosh.
Hang on. I got it.
You got it?
I got it. Just give me a minute. All right.
Okay.
Hang on. Let me just open the file.
And now Scott, like Joe, Scott does a lot of, he goes to a few conventions and stuff.
Oh, does he? Okay.
Yeah, he does.
Next week
next week should be chosen by the guest author this week, what you watch movies.
Okay, I got this September 3rd, but I don't think that's right. Because isn't September 3rd a Friday?
Ooh, let me look. You know what? I think we had switched days at one time to accommodate. But yeah, the 3rd's a Friday.
Okay. Well, anyways, we can work out the time. Next week's topic is Hammer horror films.
Love Hammer horror films. Do you remember those, Joe?
No.
Like the old Christopher Lee event,
Peter Cushing.
Peter Cushing, thank you movies.
Yes, so. the ones with the very, very mammary endowed women that would wear very low cut bodices. That's fine. They would always, as the vampire was about to kill them, they'd go.
Yeah, yeah. They're English. Mostly English movies.
I remember Peter Cushing.
Yes. Yeah.
Christopher Lee.
But I didn't know Hammer movies was actually a genre.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, Abby.
Woohoo.
You all right? We thought you got eaten by a crocodile.
No.
No, sound disappointed.
That's only in Florida, not in Florida.
I thought Facebook had banned you because of the last conversation about movies.
We had a fan criticizing you, saying that you never talk to her, you're ignoring her, and then you just disappeared. something happened.
I don't know who Facebook user is.
Well, if you're watching us on StreamYard, sign in and it'll throw your name up. Yeah, you'll be able to see it. Because if you don't, then it shows you as just Facebook user. So we don't know who you are.
We did get a little worried, though. So if you have a knock on the door, it's just the EMS coming to check on you.
If you're watching on StreamYard, they'll have you a thing where you can sign in, right? And then when you sign in or accept it, whatever, it will show who you are to us, I believe.
I believe you're right.
That's what I had to do once on somebody else's.
You can make up a name if you want to. Nope, yeah. No, this is whatever you type in.
Yeah, you just won't be Facebook user without a picture. And, you know, we think it's like one of Joe's.
I thought that Stephen Kinney was going to come on tonight. He said that he liked Joe Hansen and he was going to show up.
Oh, wow.
I like Stephen Kinney. Him and I exchange books. I gave him my fantasy book, which is like 300,000 words. Sent it over to England or to Scotland to him, and he sent me his book, and we talked now and again. Unfortunately, I left one of his pages, so he might be upset with me.
Yeah.
I like Stephen. He's a great guy.
He is a good guy.
I like him. You know,
so is your fantasy book Ric Flair's autobiography? What?
You what?
Is your fantasy book that you sent him Ric Flair's autobiography?
No, it's Tolkien ash, you know, elves, gnomes, dwarves. I really, you know, that was like the book that got me, you know, got me started in writing, and I've always wanted to write one, so I wrote one, and as soon as I get done with this 9-book series, I'll go on and finish it because, cool. You know, it hasn't had many readers.
I'm gonna read it because I like that. That's my kind of stuff.
It's a good story.
I'll send you a paperback if you want.
He will.
Yeah. He will. Signed, I hope.
Get his monkey book. How much did you
I want the monkey book too.
The monkey book, Sonny?
Yes. Yes.
That's a special book. I'll send both of them to you.
That's my favorite of Joe's.
I'll get a hold of you. I'll friend you after this.
We're friends. I looked and I posted on your wall.
Oh, did you? Cool.
Yes.
So awesome. Yeah, I'll send it to you probably tomorrow.
Okay. Hey.
Right in the garage. And Sonny was my first book. And being from Minnesota, one thing we know a lot about is chimpanzees. So I used a chimpanzee as the protagonist in my book. And it was risky, but I was new. I was just starting out, and I thought, you know, what the hell? You know, why not? And I put it out there, and Lundy read it, and he was like, wow, that was I've never read anything like it. And he says it was really good. And
I think he told me some. He thought a teenage girl wrote that book.
Did he really?
No, he didn't say that. It's a good book.
Alan read it, and then when Alan released his second book, I released my second, or his first book, I released my second book at the same time, and we were friends all through your writing of that first book, weren't we?
Yeah.
We've been buddies now for about 8 years, and you know, we've you know, said things to each other and found out, you know, if it was worth a crap or not, and help each other here and there. And
you make me cry.
Well, I always thought it would be so competitive being with other authors, and it's, when you get with the right group, it's not. It's encouragement, and you know, hey, you could really, you're at a point here, you could really build a, you know, a really colorful scene, you know, for the fans.
Yeah,
we'll say things like that to each other, and it's pretty cool.
You know, and it shouldn't be competitive because the four of us here, three of us here write zombie, but we write different stuff too. Hadley, she writes in a fantasy realm, like not like you, Joe, but she writes a fantasy series. Scott writes all kinds of horror.
Scott's all over the place.
Yeah, Scott's like you. He's like you, except Scott's got a billion books out. And so it shouldn't be competitive, it should be.
We're of a like mind, you know?
Right.
Well, I love to read.
Yeah, I do too. If I'm not writing, I'm reading.
Yeah,
I'm gonna look up Hadley and, you know, look at some of her stuff tonight because I love fantasy. I love all kinds of fantasy.
Look up Scott's too, because Scott's got horror, he's got fantasy. Yeah. You've got some sci-fi too, right?
Not yet, but it's coming out. Coming out next month.
Talk about your Nazi book. Because that's the one I'm really excited about.
Operation Majestic. I'm hoping to get it out by the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
It's a time travel book. All I can say really right now without like spending 20 minutes going into the plot is think Raiders of the Lost Ark meets Back to the Future with aliens.
That sounds fun.
I have a sci-fi book called Wayward Son that's time travel. Uh-huh. And that's more like Clockwork Orange meets Quantum Leap. You know?
That one actually teared me up at the end.
Yeah, I had to kill him.
Yeah, I know. I know.
Yeah, when I listened to it online, I had Kevin Pierce do the narration. So when I listened to it, I've got to admit it tears me up too. But that means I'm on the right track when it comes to writing. Because if you're like me, which I believe you guys are, you know that everything you write, you're improving yourself.
Yes.
You know, and everything you write gets better and better. And you get more of a concept of what you're doing and where you're going.
Definitely.
And I'm assuming you're all self-taught as I'm self-taught. So, you know, anything we can learn and pick up from each other as we go. You know, I don't really believe in plagiarism unless somebody is actually photocopying. Because you start, if you read somebody's book and you say, geez, I want to write one like that, after the first paragraph, it becomes your own, and it's not really going to be like that story, because we're relaying a part of ourselves, and humans are unique in the sense that it's ourselves that is, you know, we're not like anybody else. So unless you're copying verbatim, there's no such thing as plagiarism, you know, it's just, what I write, nobody else can write. What Hadley writes, nobody else can write. What Alan writes, nobody else can write. What Scott writes, you know. And you two are on my list. You'll be the next ones that I get to. Hopefully, you have Audible books out there.
Right.
I'm about to do my first Audible in the next couple of months. So.
Yeah, Joe can't read. That's why he gets Audible. He can't read.
Well, I do Audible more than I read now because I can do it when I'm doing stuff around the house or when I'm driving somewhere.
Yep.
Like we were talking last weekend when we had the narrators, you know, a lot of people don't read. They listen to it because they're doing chores, they're working, they're driving. And that's what I find myself, you know, I'll mow the lawn, I'll listen, or, you know, I'll put it, you know, on the stereo if I'm going somewhere, going to work now, you know.
If I was with the Bears.
I was to give anybody advice about Audible, pay the actor off right away and don't do a royalty share, because I'm stuck with books right now that are, the books are being changed and built into one big series as it was always intended. And the changes I've made, I really can't go back on my Audible and change them on Audible for 7 years.
Yeah.
I'm wrapped in, well, one is 3 years now and the other is like 4 years.
Yeah, if you can afford it, pay your narrator up front.
Right away, then you have the freedom to do what you want with that story.
But if you don't, you know, you got to do what you got to do.
That's right.
You know, there are people like you and I, so it's like you could set it for a 4 month period that they're doing the book and say you got to give them $400 a month up until it's done. You know, because you got to pay them a little more when you're paying them on.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You do.
It'll be worth it in the long run. That's all I can say. But if you're broke and you don't have the money, then go ahead and do a royalty share because you still make money.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. You know, I agree.
My thoughts on it. But all my Gone to Dog books, which are a Western, a futuristic Western that ties into Zombie Rush, all of those I'm paying out completely before, you know, so I don't have any royalty share. Just my advice, you know.
Sound advice, I think.
You what?
It's sound advice. I think that the royalty share thing would make me nervous. Not because I make too many royalties, but because I feel like somebody was working for free.
Well, it's also hard to get royalty shares, especially if it's your first Audible book. But I prefer to just pay them off up front, and then I can do what I want with it.
You know, and even on a royalty share, you're going to pay them some cash.
Yeah.
You know, we have our Five Roads to Texas books, which, you know, I still pay Andrew cash up front. It's not as much as I would if I had the complete freedom to do what I want with it, but, you know, it's still cash with royalty share. It's just not nearly as much as if you're paying them off.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said,
on Amazon which is Audible, they're set up with like an author's union or an actor's union where they get, you know, they have a health fund, they have insurance, they, you know, they're more actually a part of Audible than us, the authors, are. So you have to pay them a certain amount in order to pay their union.
When the three of us started doing it was like the Wild West, you know, with Audible. Mm-hmm. You know, you go on ACX and you audition people, and
it was
just crazy. Now it's more closed in.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you do what you got to do, Hadley, to get your foot in the door there. You know, my first book was a royalty share because I just didn't have the funds at that time to do it, but I knew I had to get the Audible out there because people were asking for it, and I was losing a market. And it is a market.
More money on Audible.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. It's a big
market. I found the right guy, and that was the important thing, is I found the voice. And when I shared his voice with Casey Skelton, who did my editing, and he said, it's the voice. So I knew, you know, I lucked up with this guy. But I'm doing the short book first, the Running and Gunning, which was like more, it's a little bit longer than a novella, but it's not as long as like I consider a real novel. Yeah. So I'm hoping that it won't cost as much as what people were telling me it was going to cost since it's so short.
How many words is it?
No, I think right at 40,000.
See, sometimes some of those, and correct me if I'm wrong, Scott and Joe, but the shorter books are harder to sell on Audible. Not to get nary or anything, but people tend to like longer books. Am I wrong?
I haven't.
Membership, and it costs you $15 a month, and you get one credit. And that's one book. Now, if I can get a book that is 34 hours compared to one that is 5 hours, I'm going to go for the 34 hours.
Yeah.
So if you have a second book to your series, I don't know if you do or not, but if you have a second book there, maybe you want to combine them.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Just simply because, and that's what I did with Zombie Rush, is they were 60,000 word books, basically. So I did Zombie Rush 1 and 2, Zombie Rush 3 and 4. That way I had, I think if one was 11, one was 14 hours, you know. Which, you know, now my fantasy book, which is 300 and some thousand words, that's going to be a 28-hour book. But for me to hire somebody to do it is going to cost me probably $4,500, you know, if not five.
That's still not as big as...
on the table.
That's still not as big as Ben Black's book. I think his is 600K.
Wow. Oh,
that's crazy.
It's huge. It's huge. Yeah, and he's like, you know, thinking about the narrator. He's kind of scratching his head, you know. Yeah. But what say you, Scott, about that, about the length of...
I never even thought of that until Joe brought it up. You know, I just assumed you buy the book that you like. I never thought about the... But then again... I mean, if you're buying a lot of Audible books, I guess you would save your one book credit for the bigger book, yeah, and then buy the smaller, cheaper books.
That's what, yeah, I do, and yeah, I buy a lot.
I've done that too. I've bought smaller books that you can get it for $5-$10, but
yeah,
the bigger books, you know, a lot of those big ones are $60-$70.
So maybe keep that in mind, Hadley, when you're...
Yeah, you know, I'm going to think about that.
Just think about it. Don't stress. My,
that's the thing about Audible is we don't get to set our price on that.
Yeah, we don't.
Oh.
Yeah, mine's only about $15, I think, the Nurse Alyssa book so far.
That's about what they run, huh?
On your paperbacks and on your ebooks, you get to set the price, but you have no say on Audible.
And they'll put them on sale, too. You'll see them. If you're looking, you're like, oh, it's on sale now, you know, or sometimes I'll offer it up free to get as a promotional, you know, these books are free on Audible, you know, like, but you still get credit for it, right? You still get paid.
I still have to figure out how to do the thing that if somebody signs up for Audible and yours is the first book they download, you get extra credit.
Nice.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I've got a few of those bonus points, like,
okay,
and has had a few, and my first zombie was,
you know, that's right.
Had a few. Yeah.
That's right. It's like, what is it, like $50 or
60.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta check that out.
Bounty. It's a bounty.
Bounty. Yeah. That's right. Bounty referral bounty or whatever.
I think I've had six or seven of them now, bounties, royalties, but, you know, you're never going to get it on the fifth book of a series.
No.
Right.
So it's always going to be one, and it's usually going to be somebody you talk to, and, you know, and it's never going to be money. It's never going to be someone that you give a...
PA.
Everybody,
I'm waving.
PA. It's never going to be someone that you give a free copy to.
Yeah, no. No, those are nice, and I think those, you know, are... anymore they're less, you know, to get, but it, you know, just keep, you know, just Hadley, take, you know, take your time finding, you know, you got the narrator and everything, and just think about it. It's, you know,
no rush.
Yeah, you know, no zombie rush. You're welcome, Joe. You're welcome.
Hey, big plug.
Those books are gone. That's been turned into the actual series.
Series.
Splinter, and then it's like Reign of the Red Horse,
right?
And it's all about the apocalypse and the four horsemen.
Everything's about the apocalypse.
The four horsemen part, you know, the Book of Revelations written by John when he was imprisoned on the island for the criminally insane, and you know that one.
I know what you're talking about. So. Hadley, were you going to say something? I'm sorry.
I was going to say that meeting all of these wonderful writers, like we're doing, all it does is make me feel like when I worked at Barnes & Noble, and like my paycheck went right back to Barnes & Noble.
Walden Books. I did the same thing.
Walden, Barnes & Noble. And what was the other one that went out? What that went out of business? We had one in the mall.
Borders.
Yeah, it was in Eureka, and that's a college town. And they only had one big bookstore. They had some smaller ones. And it went out of business. It's just amazing.
Yeah.
It's sad.
We had a Borders around here. But I gave away so many paperbacks and donated them to... We've got Viking Library up here. Because I live in the sticks. And that's where... it's like an RV that they go around. That's a library. And I donated you know, nice. Thousands of books to them, because otherwise I just don't have the space to keep them, you know.
Yeah.
Which is, I've read so many. I'm happy for ebooks. I was delighted that I didn't have to fill up my house with books anymore. And then Audible came along, and I'm just like, this is sweet.
There's nothing like a book.
If you look behind me, I've got two of my many bookshelves stuffed with books. I don't listen to Audible. To me, reading is sort of like that sacred moment. I go outside with a nice cigar, iced coffee, and I just read. I do nothing else. When I drive, I plot out the next two or three chapters of the next book.
Yeah. See, and when I'm home, my wife watches, watches TV and does her thing, and I write. You know, I don't watch TV. I don't do anything. I write if I can stay off of Facebook.
Yeah.
D.A. Roberts is a paperback. I used to be one.
I am too.
Some days Alan is actually funny. So
Some days. I've got to figure out my schedule now. To get back, I haven't been on Facebook in a while. I just post a little things, you know, and I've been out of touch.
Bears.
And I get back. I'm just, bears. Yeah. We chased a bear the other day. Those things, I never realized how fast a bear can move.
30 miles an hour.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's not a yearling. It's about 2 years old, this bear. And the bear people came, and they got those little dogs, you know, that are not afraid of bears. And they had three of them in their truck, and it was a dual cab, and one of them squeezed out the window, jumped out, and treed that bear. And when I die, it'll be because And I couldn't believe it. Just a little bear, man. I mean, a little dog chases a bear right up the tree, and then we spent an hour and a half trying to get it down, and eventually we had to leave, go do some other stuff, and came back.
We were in Canada fishing, and we were taking our boat from one lake to another, and it's just this rough, bumpy road. And this is like 40 miles south of the ice road. And we're going along this rough dirt road, and there's bears eating here and bears eating there. And as soon as they'd see us, they would scurry off into the woods, you know. And we're going along, and all of a sudden there's one bear that stands up and looks right at us. And Eric, the guy who owned the resort, he just goes, uh-oh. And Jill looks over, and I look over, and I'm like, that bear's not running away. And he says, no, he says, don't even slow down. He says, just keep going.
they're crazy.
Going about 2 miles further, we saw two twins. And he goes, hey, there's the twins. And they scurry off. You know? So that one bear was big. He's probably 7 feet tall. And he was not afraid at all.
Bears beats Battlestar Galactica. Yep. It's been a good show tonight. It has been
the best show we've had, I think.
It's been a lot of fun.
Joe, come back anytime and give Alan a hard time.
I love it. It's only a matter of time. Once I get to know y'all, I'll give y'all a hard time.
Oh, yeah. You'll be like, once he gets to know you, you're the luckiest person in the world.
So, I've got three of these now with Scott, so we should be getting pretty comfortable with each other.
Oh, yeah, you can pick on me all you want. I'm married. I know what it's like.
Yeah, that's true. Marriage does thicken the skin, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
So you don't think you were being stupid there, Joe? Well, you know, maybe a little bit.
It's nice. See, we've created a monster, folks.
Yes.
We've created a Viking monster down below there. So tonight's movies, recap. The Underwater Sea Monsters. Okay, The Host. Well, that was the consensus, but
Who was the host? You?
You were the host.
I was the host.
You were the host.
The Korean host.
How am I supposed to be good at this stuff when I don't even know what position
you're getting? So The Host, Scott doesn't recommend it. Right, Scott? Joe doesn't recommend it at all. Hadley?
Yeah.
Me, I love this movie. But not enough years for
I love me too.
Of course you do, Joe. Yeah. You're Ric Flair.
But I had a lot of fun. I really did.
Well, really did. Well, hold on. Before you give your goodbyes here, hold on a second. The Meg. Well, hold on, man. Hold on. The Meg. The Meg tonight. Scott, thumbs up. Hadley?
Thumbs up. It's Joe, a good rainy day movie.
Thumbs up.
Okay, great. So we recommend it. Watch it. Okay, Crawl. Joe?
Yes.
Two thumbs up.
Scott's on the fence. Hadley?
Two thumbs up.
Hadley loves this movie. Her and Joe going to go watch it again once we get off here. I enjoyed it.
And a bonus for next week, if anyone watches Snatch. If you haven't seen Snatch, watch it. And we're going to do the Hammer movies. Is that right?
Yes. One of the guys running out to pick up Snatch right now.
Let us know if you see Snatch.
Yeah. Yes. And not the X-ray to birch.
If I don't have a heart attack.
In our last movie, Deep Rising, Joe? Oh. Scott, two thumbs up? Yeah. Hadley?
Thumbs up.
Yes, and me too. I'll give it two thumbs up. I love that movie. Watch it anytime. Unless I'm watching something else.
All right, guys.
On the host. I'd go down.
Are you sure, Joe? Because you couldn't even remember what movie it was. So, you know what? We don't know what Joe thought of the host because he didn't even know what movie he was watching.
I picked it.
Are you sure?
Did I watch the right movie? Maybe
I don't. Who knows what you watch, man?
All right, guys, that's going to do it for us. Thank you so much for hanging out with us today. And thank you, Joe Hansen, for joining us. It's been a pleasure. We appreciate everyone who watches this show so much. And if you have any movies or series you would like to see us review, leave it in a comment or email us and let us know. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. And until next time, keep staying weird.
Before you go, be sure to leave us a comment and let our weird team know how they're doing. And don't forget to like, subscribe, and follow us to get notifications when we add new content. We are adding new content 3, 4, and sometimes 5 times a month. If you want to keep the conversation going or would like to learn more about our panel of hosts, be sure to check out our link tree. That's linktr.ee/weirdrealities. It links to our official Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and website.